Diana Pagan. Arthur Kim.
Present.
Ryan Russell.
Present.
Jennifer Cunningham. Abby Huff.
And if you two would like to introduce yourself for the record.
Cindy Haddish, Faith Theater.
Ryan Morelli, The Gazette.
And do either of you have a public comment?
I do. Do you want to know?
Sure.
Just regarding the demolition review for the city-owned properties, and we discussed this a little bit, we can get more advance notice because these were purchased beginning back in September, so it helps if anything is able to be moved. We just like that advance notice because now it's too late.
Got that. Thanks, Cindy. Has everyone had a chance to read the meeting minutes from the last meeting? And if so, are there any changes? And if not, I'm going faster. If there's not, do I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve minutes.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Chair? I'd like to make a motion.
Yes.
I'd like to propose a change to the way the minutes are recorded, specifically to place a timestamp on the printed minutes to correspond with the agenda items to make it easier for the commissioners and the public to find the corresponding item in the audio recording.
Hmm.
Is that doable?
So we've looked into this. The city pays a lot of money for the city council meetings to be done that way. And so that's it's an expense that with public resources.
What I'm asking is that we started with the minutes. Somebody writes the time down when we go to the action item. Somebody writes the time down and add them to the minutes that are published so that we can look easily at the recording. We can space down and find that.
So
it's not
that
asking to be like
that we can do.
So we just do it by hand?
Yeah.
So like approved meeting meetings would be at 4:35. Would that work?
So we can start that with whatever action one we can start it today.
Would you need a timer going? Because it's not like 4:35. It would be like 5 minutes into it.
It's not going to be exact. So,
right,
you know, if
as
we start in 5 minutes,
it,
we could say, you know, 4:40, and it's going to be ish. It's going
to
be somewhere.
Just to Ron's point, we don't always take things in order. Like tonight, we're not, so you guys can get out early.
Mm-hmm.
People reading the tape aren't going to know that. They're going to look at the agenda and think, well, that should be early on, and then maybe took it.
Yep.
But if there's a time stamp
then
closely,
then they can say, oh, 5 minutes in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I second that.
All in favor?
Hi.
Hi, Abby.
Hi.
All we've done so far is change the way we're going to do meeting minutes.
Okay.
Lauren is going to take little notes, so when we do anything on the agenda, she'll write a little hand stamp, handwritten, so when it's on the recording, if someone from the city, if the public's looking, they can see that it was item number 6 minutes and 32 seconds, and well, you don't have to be that exact.
It'll be close.
0.59999. Okay, so since we have people that are going to leave early, we're going to skip to the action items and see if we can get through those before people have to leave. So we'll start with action item 4A1, 74. Oh, and Cindy also asked that city-owned properties. Can you repeat for me?
Just to get more advance notice if they have
okay
plans for demolition.
So if people want to move it, they have a little more time.
Awesome.
Okay, 74 22nd Avenue Southwest, primary structure, city owned.
Okay, so these are three properties that we gave a preview on at the last meeting. These are being acquired related to the flood control system. This is the overall map. You can see the properties are right here. And the levee right in here, and just for, so it's 74, 78, and 80 going north to south. These were surveyed in 2010 and deemed not eligible for the National Register. Here is the front of 74. You'll also notice too that on the agenda, 78 has a garage that was built in 1943 or earlier, so that also was part of that demo review.
Are we doing 74, 78, and 80 all together?
We combine them in one presentation, but you can vote on them separately.
Yes. So here's 74. And so here for 78, you've got the both the house and the garage. And then 80. So again, these are required for flood control. They're not eligible for the National Register, and staff recommends immediate release.
Okay, I visited with Mark Hunter, and he's already photo documented inside and outside. He's fine with whichever way we go. Are there any questions in regards to these, Ron?
I was going to say, I did some research on ownership and people that lived in them. I didn't find anything that was struck out as famous tech people. Generally, they worked at Sinclair or Railroad or Pettigan Ford, Jelnick, Biscup, Dowie, Kristen, and Hyler for some of the names. So. Thank you.
I'll add, too, that Diana was able to take some photos, too, of the inside. So.
Do you know if those are the same ones that Mark took, or we have double photos then?
I don't know if I don't know that. Yeah, we'll just have more.
Any other questions? Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve demolition.
And is this for 74 or
do you
all?
Do you want to do all?
No.
Do we want to do all?
Completely your choice.
All four for 74, 78, 80 for immediate release.
A second.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Action item 4A4. Do we want to take these two together or separate?
I will leave that up to you guys. But
are
well,
they side
I mean,
by
since
side
they're right
are
next
they
to each other, we'll just, you know, one presentation.
Can we view one? Okay.
Yep.
So we'll view them together. We can vote separate if we want. 1241 and 1247 Hazel Drive Northeast, primary structure.
So to just kind of orient you, here is Mount Mercy's campus is off to the right here of the picture. This is Hazel Drive right here, 1241 and 1247, built in 1930 and 1924. There was a 2014 reconnaissance survey that determined the houses are not eligible for the National Register. Here is 1241, 1247, 19. So not eligible for the National Register, not good candidates for local landmarking, and staff recommends immediate release.
I know it's not up to us, but do we know what they're doing with the land? Just from a...
do not know.
Green space.
And they do own, there's only three properties in this tier-shaped block that they do not own, so they own the majority of the houses here.
Okay, I spoke with Mark on this. He requests, or asked us to request a hold for criteria 4. He needs to do research and photo documentation.
For both?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I would need a motion to put a 60-day hold on it. And then I can talk to Mark if when he's done doing all that. If it gets done earlier, we can release it.
I recommend we put a 60-day hold on 1241 and 1247 Hazel Drive Northeast.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I do want to make a quick comment. So if you go back to that teardrop, so really all but three houses are owned by Mount Mercy?
Yeah, so I know...
And
well, I'm probably going to get it wrong, but yeah, there's. I think it's this one, and this one are.
And they're looking to make this a green space?
No. They have no plans.
I mean, I think it's a reasonable conclusion to draw that they do have plans if they own pretty much the rest of it. So, might want to put the rest of those houses on the
endangered list.
Yeah.
It's kind of been a slow process with them because they have purchased those single at a time over the last, I've been out of college for 15 years, since 15 years, so.
Goodness.
So here's the beginning of Hazel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the one on the corner, is it?
No, I think it's two in from that. The one on the corner is pretty unique.
The one on the corner is the
Yeah.
I love that house.
I'm guessing they own
that.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so here is 1241. 1247 is there.
This one I'll have to move.
Is there a
Yeah.
Who's on that committee? I can put the endangered list.
You're on that committee, aren't you? I think Ron.
Ron and Ron.
Amanda. Somebody you're on that, right? Cindy.
Could you please add that?
You have two safes here.
One.
Mm-hmm.
Is there
any ones? Jason.
Sure.
I mean, any that are striking should be on
the
list.
It looks like it should be on the list. Yeah. All right. Because we got, we can add things in April. So.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, those that aren't owned by Mount Mercy, definitely get those on the list.
I'd really like the one on the corner that looks like Hansel and Gretel, because that's...
So that would be good for the rest of you. We can add houses that aren't on the asset list in April, so we can come across other ones.
Perfect.
Should we just add that entire block?
Good.
I mean, with there only being three left... They might be more willing to sell if, you know, to Mercy when they're the last one. So
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't hurt to put them all on. And we can do that.
Can you zoom in? Is it, what's the one in the corner?
1226.
Can you do a front view from that? I've always hated the way they painted it, but it's the most cool house. Keep going down. There you go.
Oh, yeah, look at that roof.
Yeah, it's really a really neat. I always call it the Hansel and Gretel house. Okay, so we had a first, a second, all in favor. We did that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so you're going to make a note of that, Adam, then?
Oh,
to put that on?
Yes.
Yep.
That's really neat.
This is
Can't wait.
This is go out and see it yourself.
This is really obvious here. I grew up in this neighborhood. This whole neighborhood is really
cool. I still live over there. Or near there, so.
Mm-hmm. Mount Racy took out most of the grotto, but got that school. They set pieces of it. All right, action item four.
Okay.
Six, 1900 16th Avenue, Southwest, primary structure.
Okay, so this is Jefferson, right at the top. 18th Street is right over here. So this is a warehouse built in 1951. Condition is poor per the city assessor. It's not been surveyed. This is the front. So no evidence of historic significance, not a good candidate for local landmarking, and staff would recommend immediate release.
And Mark on this one says he has photo documented it, and it's just a cinder block building with no real... So he's comfortable with whatever we decide to do, but he's okay to release it. Unless there's more questions. And when I bring up what Mark said, these are just his opinion. You guys certainly are, can either chime in against for. I just don't have his historical knowledge. So
getting another quick start.
They always.
Yeah, I saw that.
They always.
16th
Send it to
the gas station.
He reviews it.
I can confirm that when you're done voting.
It says here, right here on the demolition.
Any other questions? Do I have a motion?
Do we have a list of businesses that have been in there? Or?
Pretty sure it's currently at, I think it's SXS Transportation.
Yep. So, interestingly enough, the Historic Markers Program that the city has, this is part of the Cleveland Park area, and this building right here is one that there is a marker in front of because of its historic nature. So there was a marked board with
George
Heron with the Cleveland Park Neighborhood Association to kind of identify the history and do research. So this area has actually been looked at pretty well. And I would encourage anyone to go. We can actually, we'll send out the link to it, but we've got a Google map like Jeff had put together that shows you where all the markers are.
Can you get to that location easily? It's kind of buried, isn't it? When I get over in that area by Jefferson and
I mean
by
that's
the
right on 16.
It's right on 16.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Okay, so where's the auto parts store? Right across the street?
A little down.
Yeah.
There's the storage garages, right?
This is just down from the come and go.
Yeah.
It's not too far from
the so the come and go is right here, Leonardo's, and it's right here.
Yep.
Here's 18th Street.
So yeah, that's before you hit the AutoZone.
Yeah. By Fry's?
Yeah. A little bit down.
I'll make a motion to do immediate release on 1900 16th Avenue West.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Now we'll go up to 3A Beaver Woods Survey Update. See, you guys are going to have to stay for the whole meeting.
Okay, so. So you should be aware, we received a certified local government grant from the state to do an intensive survey. This is the area, so the boundary is 21st, Grand, Beaver Park, and Beaver Ave. And we did have, last year we had Wapsie Valley, who's a consultant, come in and give a kind of an intro. So this is the actual plat map. And I'll just point out one of the things that came out, we had an open house with the neighborhood and people had asked, well, why don't you include North of Grand? And as it turns out, we had a limited kind of funding, so we had to scale it to what was doable with the funding source. But however, as you can see, we picked the right, this is all developed at one time as one development. So that was nice to see. That's from 1918. So, it's eligible for National Register under Criterion A, which is events, and C, architecture. You can call these preliminary results, but there's 128 buildings. There is one vacant lot in here, but 128 buildings, 30 are potentially individually eligible, another 125 contributing, and only 3 that are not contributing.
Wow.
Associated with urban growth of Cedar Rapids and the Beaver family. They actually provided some of the financial assistance for homeowners.
Mm.
So just a couple photos of the individually eligible ones. So here's one on Washington and Garden. Forest and Washington. So what's next? We should have the full report in March, and then we're going to have an open house to really just share, here's the results, and then you property owners can do whatever you like, and if you are interested in doing, going for like a local land or a local district, we'll provide that, you know, that information as to how to do that, but really it's going to be up to the neighbors to decide what they want to do going forward. And that would be a tentative. We'll let you guys know when we actually set the date, but we're looking at April or May.
If we decide to go forward, will the city help us with mailings?
With mailings for
encouraging neighbors to make this work? Because we need 61% of the neighbors' approval. Is it 60 or 61?
60. Yeah.
It used to be 51. I thought maybe they just did 10. So if we decide as a group, whose decision is it to move forward after?
It's going to be the property owners. I mean, well, technically anyone can can make the request, but you need the number of signatures. So the property owners at the end of the day are going to have the final say in terms of actually, you know, whether they want to do it, then they'll sign the petition. If they don't, and if you're not able to get the number.
Who does the petition?
Not city staff. So it would be either the individual property owners or someone here who doesn't live there could work with the property, with the neighborhood.
And all the information would be available.
We would be available. So if they decide they want to do it, want to have another meeting or five or whatever it is, we would meet with them to, you know, to help them through the process.
So we had talked about revisiting the guidelines, especially specifically for roofs because of this area. Do we need to revisit that before this neighborhood? Like, do we have to have something? Should we have something in place going into this saying?
I think it would happen in conjunction. You know, like if we're going down the path of locally landmarking, we're realizing our guidelines don't really work for that neighborhood, then we can go through a process of updating those as well.
Because my fear is that someone would say, oh yes, I'm fully on board with this, and then a year down the line say, this terracotta roof is costing me $100,000 a year or whatever it is, I can't do this, but now I can't because of, and I never agreed to that. And then, like, I just don't know what the timeline should look like in terms of getting buy-in versus protecting what we have there versus getting buy-in.
We are going to discuss that under discussion items, roofing materials, and the design guidelines. We'll talk a little bit more about that then.
Yeah.
It's a good point, though.
So the process, it's just a petition. 60% of the 128 owners needs to sign it, and then that's that.
And the petition needs to explain what that means, what they're signing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that they have to follow Chapter 18. Yeah.
So then that would go with a local district, that actually would go to SHPO for review, and then does it go to CPC?
Mm-hmm. The same as local landmark process, other than also goes to SHPO.
So you guys, I think it goes to SHPO first?
Then HPC first, then SHPO, CPC, City Council.
And at City Council, there's three meetings. So there's a meeting to set a public hearing, and then at that meeting they would have the public hearing and then also the first reading of the ordinance. And then at the next meeting, typically they combine second and third readings, so then they would, you know, approve it then.
And everything that the survey company did is available?
It will be, yeah.
Yeah.
Once it's completed.
So we're not doing double homework on it.
Yeah, no, it'll all be online, available to anyone.
So as I was trying to guess what the process is, you all have in front
that's
of
right.
you kind of the SOP, and this is up for revision as you guys feel necessary in terms of how long you need to review, but this gives you an idea towards the bottom half of what happens, you know, in terms of review. And this is just for local landmark. It's the same for district, except there would be that SHPO review on there.
So the petition hasn't been completed yet, correct?
Correct.
So will this meeting in April or May take place before the petition is completed or after?
So this meeting in April is to share with the neighborhood the results and then let them know, here's your options. If you want to pursue it, we'll work with you. Here's a process. If you don't, you know.
And pursuing would be the petition.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And Chapter 18 isn't specific. It just says someone needs to bring a petition. So
they could also go for National Register, either as a district or individually. The ones that are individually eligible could go for that. So that might be a good path for them, honestly. Go for a National Register district first and get that out of the way, and then maybe go for the petition and do a local landmark. So, but we'll present all those options to them.
Actually, the easiest way to do it, if you want to do both, is to do it at the same time. Because
that works too.
He goes to SHPO once that way. Versus coming back and then resubmitting and going through. Because it's kind of a lengthy process for them to review it because they're busy, which is probably why they didn't.
Well, they only have two or three SNRC meetings a
So it's not on here. You don't see that on this timeline?
That's like an SOP for just in general local landmarking. This is the timeline for the Beaverwood survey.
Right.
So they haven't initiated this process yet.
Because the neighborhood meeting has to happen first.
And they haven't yet decided if they would like to pursue the local district process or the local landmark process.
So this is only after 60% has said yes.
Is this triggered by the petition getting put in? Or?
Yes.
An application.
Yeah. And so the next agenda item, this would definitely be, is actually what's going to happen. If it's, you know, if you guys approve. So.
Go by that 128 number, and then we need 77 signatures. I just don't know. I don't know.
And is it any homeowner, or is it only the 125 that qualify?
Qualify for
non-contributing sign the petition.
Three were non-contributing.
Yes.
Yeah. Every sometimes
yeah.
we run into
because they're all in the district.
We sometimes run into sticky. We'd be like, a lot of downtowns national. If we tried to make it local, it would be harder because one man owns dozens of buildings. I forget his name.
Emerson.
So he gets a vote for each property that he owns. So if there were 25 properties and he owned 15, has one vote.
Wow.
So if he said no, that would wipe out 15 right there. I don't know how many people in this neighborhood probably own multiple homes. But that could throw off the numbers too. Question?
No. I will comment. On my research that I'm helping on this, on ownership and people that own houses in the district, there were some notable Cedar Rapids people, as well as a former governor and senator and so forth that lived in that. So even though it architecturally may not qualify, somebody famous living in it makes it eligible. So,
and if it goes ahead, there has to be a lot of education, because a lot of people think they can't do anything to their house on the inside, which is not true. And they're worried about painting it. But if you look at most of these houses, they're already ahead of the game because they keep them up anyway. Most of them are about review of them house by house. Most of them are pretty much architecturally kept in order as far as windows, roof lines.
And the three, and Jeff and Lauren, correct me, but the three had to do with additions that are not contributing? Is that there were additions over time that made them not contribute?
But I'm assuming, I think you mentioned earlier, part of the process will be explaining restrictions, and you know, are there that you brought up? We don't want any surprises in 2 years or 3 years that hit the commission that says, "Well, we didn't sign up for this. I need to put a new roof on the house. I can't, you know, replace terracotta tile roof."
What I would recommend is any of the houses that have a slate roof or a tile roof, you would just be give more explanation
okay.
to those people.
Yep.
Or most of these are so architecturally cool, you can't really change them anyway.
Yeah.
They destroy the whole house. But stuff like the roof, you know, like the house I named, for example, the one in the backside of Beaver Park, the blue roof. That house there, I would definitely spend time and say, now, if you sign this, you do have to keep.
Okay.
If that's what we end up changing the guidelines to, which I would recommend us doing. But
that's fair.
But like I said, most of these houses, both in Beaver Woods, Vernon Heights, I go home that way every night because I live over in that area. They do a really good job keeping them, almost even the paint colors.
Yeah.
There was a couple that they've used the slate siding. They didn't use vinyl, they used that hardy board. But I think we allow that, so.
That maybe this is the right form to ask a question or not. What happens to resale value on these homes, right? So if I'm a current homeowner, and in 5 years we're in this district, and I decide to sell.
It goes up.
It does.
There's
go
been
up.
There's been so many surveys and articles written about if your home is in a national landmark, your
okay.
resale value is higher.
And we, I don't know if we ever did reach out to the realty board.
30% too. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Is it?
No.
Okay.
But it would also be the homeowner's position to make you aware
yeah.
that it's that, and it's both. supposed to be the Board of Realtors is supposed to help us with that too. I don't know if they were ever.
So we are going to be doing a presentation to them that helps for their educational continuing ed, June, I think it is, to go over Chapter 18 and preservation in Cedar Rapids. So, yeah, because then that's something that they can help out with, is pointing it out. And also letting people know of resources that are available.
So I'd just say specialty houses, like
mm-hmm.
the tile roof ones. We would, whoever was talking to them would give them more information.
Yeah.
The biggest questions I've had from people that live in there, including the guy that owns the original Beaver House down on 34th and Beaver, is what can I not do on the inside? And there is no rules.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the house down to 4 outside walls if you want, which I think is strange, but to me that does change.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. All right, 3B, local landmark designation, Strand Theater, 316 3rd Avenue Southeast.
Okay, so this one should, everyone should be aware of. So this is the Whitwer, the old Whitwer building, White Star. Here is the Guarantee Bank building, Strand Theater.
AKA the World Theater.
So this is the front. So here is the front of the Strand, front of the Guarantee. There's a big parking lot here. And just to remind everyone, HPC gave a letter of support to the state in favor of the work that the developer was doing to save what they could and what was actually historic and renovate that appropriately. And so, again, just a reminder that HPC very recently gave support for this project overall. So it is listed on the National Register as a contributing resource under A and C, or I believe as we have it in Chapter 18, 1 and 3, events and architecture. And this is because of this overall development, the period of significance, and just the integrity of the structure. Architect was William J. Brown. Built in 1915, and it's had different uses. You'll see there in terms of you know, originally playhouse and then actual movie theater. There were changes that you'll see here by past owners, which really had in terms of the interior, had a negative impact. So one of the significant features is the balcony that goes from 3rd Ave into the building, and then just some of the materials and the way that was done. The lobby is also, and the projection area is on the 3rd Avenue side. So it's kind of brief history, remodeled in 60, closed in 81 and vacant until 99. Renovated again 2005, and like I said, you'll see photos of this, and then a lot of the stage components were removed at that time, and that would be in the back. So this is the inside, the balcony. This is 3rd Avenue is towards the back of the photos, and this is the balcony, and the east side and the part or north side and the parking lot's over here. You can see a lot of that just was removed prior to the current owners. So with this project, they're looking at this being kind of the front part to a new hotel. So they're going to retain or rehabilitate what is left from all those past renovations. This will be easier when I show you a site plan. But I think really the lobby and the balcony are key things that they're going to work on restoring. So a couple different images to help you understand what's staying and what's going. So anything in red is going. So basically from this blue line to the left, and then everything to the right, with the exception of lowering the roof to match, and we'll see it in a different shot, but there's a, they're trying to match that roof line to the building next to it. So I'll call it east is towards the back of the image, north is to the left. So now we're on the other side, so this is the Guaranty Bank building right here. And so you can see again what's being removed, and then all this is being retained and restored.
Where the red is, I believe, where the stage used to be.
Yes, yep.
And it's been all removed because after the flood, that's where they brought the boilers.
So one thing that is this wall, so this is that east wall, is in really bad shape, so it's going to be completely removed. And then from this blue line to 3rd Avenue, we'll be rebuilt and build a new wall that's going to be a painted brick veneer.
And that brick wall, I'm just passing on things because I went to this thing. The brick wall that's there is actually not an exterior brick wall. There was another building there which had the exterior walls, so that's not fire baked or something. So over time, it's just going to keep.
And then you can also see in this image, here's the new hotel behind. So next steps, and again, as I said before, this is a new process and SHCLO's not reviewing local landmarks. So at the last meeting, we came up with kind of the initial process of when we let you guys see this.
Can you highlight
step.
That real quick? I don't believe
yeah.
Ryan was here for that.
So basically SHCLO has said we don't want to review any local landmark applications anymore. So what at the last meeting the commission decided is that there'll be an initial presentation of the application. You'll have the application, and then at the next meeting we'll actually we'll have the applicant come in and be available for questions or maybe a presentation, but basically it's giving you 3 weeks to look through the application prior to that meeting. And then at that meeting, if everyone's comfortable, you would make a recommendation or not. So you would consider it, and then it would go on following this process here.
Right.
But because this is all us, this is our process, if you guys want to make it 5 weeks, if you want to make it 2 weeks, I mean, it's all up to, you know, to you guys. There might be something where there's just a whole lot of information, you need a little extra time. And again, it's our local process, so that'll just be dependent on what you guys need to
feel
comfortable.
The reason we chose to do this versus just voting on it now is because now that the state's not involved, we didn't want the process to get watered down to where anything that came before us, okay, yeah. Some of them are going to come before us that even though it's going to be hard, we'll have to say no if they don't.
So
like I can safely say this one should go through slam dunk.
Well, okay, Adam, are they still applying for tax credits? Historic tax credits on this?
Yes.
I believe so.
Have they done a part two?
I think they're in the process of that.
Okay. I think we should be able to review that.
So they probably incorporated a lot of the information from that into their application, but yeah, we can ask if they can put that in.
They faced a big uphill battle with the state just because of the physical changes to the building. So I'm assuming now, I'm assuming now since they're going ahead, the state must be on board.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's what's holding them back all these months. Mm-hmm. They wanted it to be, the state wanted it to stay like a movie theater, and it's just no way you can because it's been basically gutted.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're doing what the video I watched, they showed at the meeting, it's going to be very cool. It's going to be a huge atrium. It's going to be kind of a conversation area before you actually go into the hotels and stuff like that. They're keeping the actual, and I'm speaking on a turn because they maybe have changed, but the original plans, they were keeping all the scaffolding that held the balcony up. Incorporating that as a piece of art.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope they still do. So our next process is for us to do like Abby suggested, do as much research as you can on our own.
Okay.
So you have questions to ask at our next meeting when they'll be here. And like I said, we're doing this just so we can slow the process down.
Has we had the History Center pull information on the building yet?
So they have, because, no, I don't think we even, could we have the National Register nomination somewhere?
Yes.
Okay. So that should be, I mean, we should have that because it's on the National Register.
Okay.
Yep.
It's in a district, so
yeah.
Okay.
There's less information in
that,
okay. And they're working on getting it, I guess.
And from local historian Mark's standpoint, he suggests we do anything in our power to make this go through, because this is one they've been trying to save for decades.
And I will say they do have, related to things they have to do at the state level, they do have somewhat of a time frame. So the next meeting, so they'll be there at the February 27th meeting to answer questions. And I'll ask them about that video, because I think that would be good for everyone to see. So.
And they maybe have changed. I don't know what they had to
right.
do with the state. It was all interior stuff. I know the state's biggest problem was they wanted to stay for what it was built for, some type of entertainment thing. And it's just not one financially feasible, and it didn't fit into there. But yeah, it was I can't remember, it was probably about a 10, 12, 13 minute video, but it was very interesting. I think you guys would enjoy seeing it. So yeah, I'd ask them to bring that if they could, if they're sticking with those.
Yep.
They could have changed everything. So that was, how long ago was that?
That was summer, wasn't it? Last summer, I think.
It was a
long
ago.
It was a long time, yeah.
It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even longer than that. Well, we're closing in on summer this weekend. All right, so everyone understand the process, why we're doing it this way, just to slow things down, try to catch things. Any other questions on a local landmark designation? Strand World Theater? Thanks, Abby. And we don't have to vote on that. That was just an update to get us ready for we'll vote next time, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Discussion 5A, intensive survey priority areas.
All right. So I intended for this to probably be multiple meeting discussion. So I just kind of prepared some information for you guys to start thinking about. And then maybe at the next meeting we can actually start trying to prioritize. So I kind of put together information both about what our historic preservation plan says and then also how the commission prioritized in the past. So you kind of have both of those pieces of information. So just a little bit of background on the historic preservation plan. It was adopted in September 2015. It identifies areas that were recommended for intensive survey in the 2014 reconnaissance survey and prioritizes those on what we should survey intensively. So the consultant looked at those areas and then kind of ranked them 1 through 4, looking at areas likely to support heritage tourism, places where there's neighborhood programs or plans for development, and those that are identified as being of special interest. And then a lot of these are recommended for National Register boundaries, according to the reconnaissance survey. So here's a map of all of those areas all together, as you can see. And then the actual plan breaks them up in quadrants. So in the northwest quadrant, this is what the historic preservation plan prioritizes. So you can see, I put in the red number, it corresponds with the priority. So number one, the East Highlands, to First Ave, to C Avenue Northwest, and so on and so forth. So obviously, just looking at this immediately, you probably don't remember exactly what the houses are, kind of what's going on in that neighborhood. So that's why I thought it would be helpful just to present it today. And maybe you can spend some time kind of looking and thinking more about it. The northeast quadrant, number one being like the Kenwood Park, Coon McNeil development. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but it's just like a little, like, what am I trying to say? Like
horseshoe.
Yeah, horseshoe of just like tiny, cute little brick homes. It was all part of one development.
The brick pillar that's on First Avenue, right before you get to Town and Country.
Yeah,
that's
is part of
a
it.
Marker.
Yeah. So yeah, that's how they prioritized the northeast quadrant. And then the southeast. And you'll notice that Beaver Park, Beaver Woods was prioritized as second. on in the historic preservation plan. So that's why we looked at that for the CLG grant.
Did you base that on size?
That was part of it, because we were kind of looking at what area would fit the grant amount that we thought we could get.
Could I make a suggestion that if by some outside chance another grant should come forward, that comes before HPC before a decision is made?
Yes. Yeah. We presented it to HPC when we applied for the Beaver Woods grant.
But I mean, could it even come before us in case we feel that maybe Cole College District?
Yeah. Yeah, we can do that. And I think this process will help us.
We didn't know anything until after it was, until
right.
you brought it to us.
And I think this process will help us have your intentions in mind when we do go and apply for.
I think another way of saying it is, if there's a deviation on your part from the priority list we set up, then we would want it brought to us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just.
But also, there's four number ones. So, question number one should we go with, or even number two in this case?
And if nothing else, even if we go with what you guys are kind of leaning towards, like my question, was it because of size, just so we have more information?
It was a combination of size, and we kind of combined this with the next thing I'm going to show you, which is how you guys prioritize. If you look at this, Beaver Park was number three in the overall commission ranking, but actually number two when you look at averages. And averages are, the lowest is actually the highest, because you did one through however many there are. So anyway, we kind of used a combination of those two to make the decision. But I see your point. Yeah, we can definitely have discussions.
Just so
we're
ahead of
grants.
It instead of either in the middle of the aisle.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there any way, did you put all this together?
Mm-hmm.
Would you object to emailing it to us so we have a...
Yeah, and it's on the website.
Was it on? Okay.
It will be on the website, because we put our presentations, but I can email it to you personally.
If it's going
to
be on the website, that's fine.
Yeah. Because
it's hard to take it all in at one.
Exactly, minute. And I knew that. Commission ranking happened in 2017, and they were looking at the same areas, so all the areas that were recommended for intensive survey and the reconnaissance survey, and then they kind of ranked them. Well, they used kind of ranking and average, and I think the commission then kind of looked at that and then made a final decision. So what I'm hoping we can do is kind of do that exercise again, so that we kind of have a better idea of what areas we should go for a grant in the future.
This was a very lengthy process.
Yeah. So that's why I want to give you the opportunity to start thinking about it now. And I would recommend, I can send this out to you, looking at the reconnaissance survey, because it does go into more depth in why these certain areas are recommended for intensive survey. It has some pictures and everything too. So I think that's what I wanted to at least start with. Do both questions.
So this will be an ongoing discussion?
I thought so, yeah. Just because I think, just start thinking about it, and you know, we can try to maybe prioritize it the next meeting.
Because I think this helps set us up for the next grant round for CLG.
Yes, which will happen in
the of course you don't know what the grant would be, how much, because I'm probably all different prices, but amounts.
Yeah.
I think it'd be good for us to have a discussion on this, since none of the people that did this except for you on this. Yeah. Ron and I are the only two people left that helped
mm-hmm.
do this. It'd be a good thing maybe to do just a really how we got to that, but more importantly, maybe pick one out that we have in our mind that's the most important, so if a grant comes up, we don't have to hem-haw around. We can kind of pinpoint the top
mm-hmm.
two or three, even though they say two or three, like the Beaver Woods. So that was second, you know, so that went first. So it might give us a chance to get ahead of it, so we can say, well, we really want Vernon Heights, or I know Mark Hunter's, not the Coe College grounds, but the property around it. There's a great woodhouse over there.
Mm-hmm.
He was always really concerned about that neighborhood. It's not a very big neighborhood, because a lot of it's been taken down. But it might be good for us to be able to kind of have an idea what we think as present members.
Yeah,
if we want to move things around a little bit.
Yeah. I would also think, too, about, like, what are at more, like, at-risk areas in the sense of redevelopment or...
That's why
you
said Cole College, because they're doing a lot of development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe...
And they have been good to work with, as has Mercy Hospital. But
does one of those areas cover the Mountain View area? Because that's...
So, Co obviously is in Mountain View.
Six
and five, and the one next to it, I think, is just outside of it.
Yeah, I can go there though.
Yeah, Mountain View is, I think it's 21st, is like technically the east side of the neighborhood. 20th.
Yeah, so it's interesting that they recommended the campus.
And the historic district goes through number three.
That's the round the campus. I don't think
it was
the campus.
It wasn't supposed to be campus.
This
yeah.
is what I'm just. This is from the reconnaissance. So that's what the reconnaissance.
Oh, because
survey.
Of the buildings on the campus, probably.
Right.
That makes sense.
Anyone have any questions, suggestions, comments?
Very interesting. I guess. Do you guys have thoughts on kind of an exercise that you'd want to do at the next meeting to think through this more?
Would almost be a homework project for us. I kind of know what's on there, and I sent all the notes from when we did this because it was quite lengthy.
Several people missing, so.
Yeah.
I wonder if it would be helpful to pick one or two of these areas and kind of go through what are we looking at in terms of risk, age, size, like what are the factors that we are considering when we are prioritizing this? Because I'm sure we all have our own kind
we
of
did
like,
all
those. Oh, those are neat houses. Those are great.
Yeah.
These
yeah.
are older houses. Why doesn't this take priority?
We did all
these
those.
Are being developed.
We did all what you just said. Plus we had our 1, 2, 3, 4
yeah.
architectural.
I'm wondering if that might be an exercise.
And we also looked at how hard they would be to turn. Opposition would be, you know, Co College owning property there versus Vernon Heights, which is all privately owned.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot. It took a couple years to do that, I believe. Were you guys here when we did this? Yeah. It took a couple years to do all this.
I'm wondering if we just pick like two, maybe three areas and kind of run through a mini, like, condensed version of that to kind of get the brains looking at the right aspects to kind of judge these areas.
I mean, are you looking to change it, or just okay, educational?
Just better understanding.
Educational. Just what are we looking at, and what do we need to prioritize in terms of?
I use like
age versus
a score sheet or something like that, where we score them on architecture and development and
mm-hmm.
all that different stuff.
I'd also like Rage Village, about two blocks, to include my house. Just saying.
So, Lauren, why don't we do?
I want the northwest side. So.
What Arthur suggested, and keep it condensed so we can talk more in depth on one thing, and then we can mm-hmm. just maybe have that like every other agenda, just an update
yep.
or future discussion. Just
I could maybe like pick out some of the first priority ones to start with, and
mm-hmm.
just talk about those, and we can kind of go from there.
Would that help? And then since we're missing three, how many people are missing? Three, four. Maybe next time we do it, you could just do a, hate to have to do this, but another quick version.
Yeah, okay.
I also still have it on my to-do list to aggregate past year's demolitions so you can get a better idea of where some of the, yeah, higher risk, more demand.
We can layer that together to layer survey areas with that.
As much as we can do, it's the present board to help people that are coming in after us so these things don't all get forgotten about. Because that's my big point that I make all the time. Adam will vouch for that, that none of us will be here probably in 10 years. Or maybe Lauren, because she's so young. Okay, any other questions? So we'll just keep that as a kind of a future
yeah.
discussion item.
Sounds good.
Okay, 5B, roofing materials and the design guidelines.
Okay. So I just have a few slides on this, and then this can just be an open discussion. But I just wanted to kind of remind the commission what exactly the design guidelines currently say. I know Tim had brought up a situation where a homeowner replaced a slate roof with asphalt in the local district, and staff made the decision to do a CNME for that because of this specific language in the design guidelines. And if we can go back to this, but I wanted to include, this is the communication I received from the homeowner who expressed kind of the how expensive it would be for them to continue to maintain a slate roof. I'll just read it. We enjoy having one of the few remaining residential slate roofs in the area above our heads at 1826 2nd Ave Southeast. We have owned the house for a little over 18 years and have invested roughly $15,000 over that period to maintain the roof. There are a few chronic problem areas, however, that to remedy will require significant slate removal, replacement of underlayment and copper valleys flashing, and reinstallment of existing slate. It has become increasingly difficult to keep up with the interior damage to the house that results from water ingress, particularly during the spring and summer rains. Reputable slate roofing contractors are very scarce, particularly in Iowa, and we have waited up to 2 years to get reputable contractor in for repairs in the past. So based on that and the design guidelines kind of allowing us to allowing roofs to be re-roofed with substitute materials if the retention of the original material is not economically feasible for the homeowner, and that's kind of how staff came to that conclusion. I think that's all I had, yeah. So I just wanted to kind of present that and open up for discussion.
If I can go first, what I would like us to do, I was gonna put this under announcements, to ask for the guidelines to be an agenda item to review because of the emails that we got from Adam, and he made an error by mistake and windows got taken out. I think we need to do a better, as Ron said in the email you guys got, a better check, maybe third check, so one person's not doing all this by themselves. And I would make a recommendation that on, and I can't say it by the acronym, but the certificate of non material effect, if they're going to change something from a slate, I think that should come before us. I don't think it should be staff.
So a couple options to address that. One could be if there's any question about economic feasibility, it just turns into a COA, it comes to you guys, and then you give a yay or a nay. Another option would be to, it's really just rephrasing or restating this, is to call out slate and other, I don't know what to call them, odd or unconventional roofing materials as a separate bullet item with that same language, because I think that's important. I think it's, I don't remember the page, but the first part of the design guidelines talks about where it's economically feasible being able to replace with original materials. And I think just in terms of the idea of livability, you know, if you think of, I always call it Till or Millie, but 1527 2nd Ave, you know, if a house is not maintained properly, there is that potential for it to decline to a point that it's no longer livable and can, you know, lead to demolition.
Mm-hmm. And just to give you guys background, and then we'll go back to this. Our Chapter 18 guidelines, I forget when the last version was written. Do you guys have the date on that?
I can't in a minute.
But they were, we had
17 or 18. 2017 or 18 was updated.
Before that, though.
Oh, that.
It doesn't matter. It was a number of years ago, and I can't remember the gentleman's name from Colorado who came in, and he said they were outdated. I'm just going to give you a background process because this took years also to do with the board. He suggested that a lot of our Chapter 18 were outdated, so we didn't rewrite. The city, that's for the guidelines. So the city asked that we review them and update them. We didn't have to rewrite all of them, but we did the best we could, and that's why I think maybe reviewing this, there needs to be some changes that, like you just said, because you try to catch it all, but you do it all in one big thing. And then the second part was the guidelines. Now the guidelines is basically a directional package on how to follow Chapter 18. That one we wrote from scratch, starting all over. We scrapped the other one. We used Denver, Aurora, and Dubuque pictures. That's where the red slash and the green check came from.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was good. And that took a long time to put together. But those are the guidelines on what's recommended if you're going to change your window. So you can go to the guidelines, you can go online. But since then, some of these things are slipping by. And this, what you said, Adam, about no longer available, or what you read to us as far as it being too expensive, that's something that one of you two pointed out. You, I think you did, Arthur, as far as turning a local landmark into a landmark.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that they need to know, because an expense on their part really isn't something that we should be looking at, because they bought a historic, in my opinion, because they bought a historical house, they have to do what they can do to keep the exterior as closest to the original. I'll use my building for example. There's 103 windows that either I'm going to have fixed or replaced. And if I replace it, that's visual from all four sides. So it's going to raise my cost extensively to go with wood versus vinyl. And I'm not going to do what some people do. I think the back I could probably get by with vinyl because it faces the parking ramp, although you can see it because you park there. I'm of the mindset I want my whole building to match. I would never do half vinyl, half roof. But I knew that when I turned it into a historical landmark and a national landmark. I knew that it was going to cost me more money to make these things. So that's what we have to make homeowners aware of if we want to make Beaver Woods, so they know that if you sign this, it could cost you more money because you're going to have to use wood, you're going to have to use tile, you're going to have to use slate.
Just to be devil's advocate, if you could go back to his, like, is that true, waiting up to 2 years to get a contractor?
And when he finally...
Do you think that's accurate?
I don't know. I've never replaced a slate roof. I think sometimes...
I mean, that is concerning.
They're trying to make a point here, so I'm sure they're... I'm not saying they are, but people tend to embellish to make their angle more
somewhere in the middle
sellable.
Is the truth.
But as a board here, none of that concerns us. The house had a slate roof and it really should have been replaced with slate, in my opinion. And I had several calls from neighbors that were very upset that it wasn't.
So I would like to just add to that, the quote that they got to replace it was $26,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we've talked with Paula Moore, and she said that there are replacements for slate that look very similar, and not saying that that's something you have to, you know, allow, but that is something that we could maybe put in the design guidelines if it's not economically feasible.
If you go back to the guideline statement itself, there really it's either an all or nothing,
right,
kind of statement. Is there a way to say replace with like, if not something visually similar?
And we've done that with siding. We allow hardy board versus...
Is there some way to move the language to make it
possibly
more similar to that? And then
when we
if it
the
does
guidelines,
get to a point where it's completely economically unfeasible, then it comes to us as a COA, and we make the final decision on whether to hold.
See, in the
not.
Three cities that we reviewed, it was cut and dry. It was
yeah.
I mean, so that's kind of how we wrote it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I wonder what you're saying. I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking when we went through this a few minutes ago, was building materials and technology are kind of coming together, right? So we're getting more and more material that...
But both directions.
With both directions. I mean, I wonder... my opinion is I kind of favor that, right? I mean, if it comes down to it where they're going to either do it anyways or we can convince them to use a... visually acceptable material.
See, which would have been good because what they ended up doing was asphalt shingles.
Yeah.
They destroyed the architectural value of the house.
So given the option of a visually similar but cheaper material, would they have taken that route, even if it was more expensive than changing it over to
asphalt?
Asphalt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
but cheaper than
the way that that statement was worded that they sent in, I feel like if they had found something visually similar that they would have gone a little bit more out of pocket.
And the other thing you have to remember too, I'll get you in a second. The other thing you have to remember too is it might be their pocketbook, but their neighbors are living with that.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's what a neighborhood district is. It's to protect the three people that border your properties, or the four people. So I'm sorry if it costs them $26,000, but it protects the three people that live around them that maybe spent $26,000 on theirs 2 years earlier, and now I'm just trying to troubleshoot so we don't have this again.
Well, and again, I would remind everyone that this is the design guidelines. So if it would have said something different, staff would have done whatever that said. We did what the design guidelines said. So just to clarify, it wasn't an error, it wasn't a mistake or anything like that. So, I mean, it sounds like definitely looking at the design guidelines to either add in language, you know, talks about other materials or not. Or, like I had mentioned, just say if anyone says, I can't do this for economic reasons, then bring it to HPC.
I think any time, Adam, that you're going to change materials, like in this case, it should come before us. I don't think you guys should be making the decision.
And again, I'm not agreeing or disagreeing, but we're following the design guidelines. So if the design guidelines say staff can do that, that's what staff is doing.
So that's why I was going to bring up maybe making some renovations too, because that was, we wrote many drafts when we did that. We went over it. We submitted it to people. They reviewed it. We did the best we can. The reason we did it is the city didn't have the finances to have a company come in and do it. And I think we did a really good job with it. But some things, obviously, are going to, I mean, how many times you write a college thesis before you actually turn it in, okay? So there's probably some things, which is what I was going to say during the announcements, that we need to tweak. And when we tweak it, that means we got to change it, submit it, and I think it's got to go before city council to be voted on, correct?
And we've done that previously with flat roofs. So yeah, we've made changes over the last year or two where HPC wanted to change something and we've taken it through and it's been approved.
And I think one thing that we need to tweak is that's something I think that we need to have. Is that in the guidelines too, how we do the CNMEs?
CNMEs are chapter 18.
Chapter 18. And that's ordinance, so that's something that, design guidelines is something where the commission can, review and make recommendations for changing, but city ordinance is city council.
But we couldn't make recommendations.
Yeah, we
could
make
you can, but I had a discussion with Jennifer Pratt about this, and there's not a, ordinances are written by staff with input from others, and so that final decision is staff and city council.
Our problem is, and I've talked to people that were around this, as far as like front doors and stuff, we think things were omitted that we originally had in the stuff, that it got, I'm not saying on purpose or intentionally, but I'll just say Amanda's not at all happy. Other people in the district aren't happy with doors. You and I have been through that.
Yep.
We've been with Jen, and I've been in a meeting with Adam, Jennifer Pratt. I'm still probably going to pursue it. So does Aunt Poe, because we can rule on a window this big in the house, but we don't have any say on their door. It's ridiculous.
So it's just because
of permitting. And Jennifer's point of view was, I know we're digressing a little bit, but Jennifer's point of view was, we didn't want to make it too hard for those future neighborhoods that you're going to tell them on every cotton picking thing what to do on the front of the house. But that is what makes it a historical house. And the front door is your... So we're still working on that. We did come up with some ideas.
I'm glad you brought up the doors. So there's been a couple things that have come up where commission has mentioned it or non-commission members, and staff has gone ahead and addressed it. So the first one, the doors, and we have a solution for that, which any CNME, so even if it's not doors, will have a photo pre-work, a photo after, and then as well as, if they say, well, I'm doing wood windows, okay, well, give me a photo of what that new window is going to be or the catalog from where it comes from. So that is to address that issue. And then more recently, we have the city's comprehensive rehab program, which I would say please share that with people because, it's almost $24,000 that can go into improvements for a home only built 1968 or earlier, I believe, and also in the low to moderate income area. So that captures 2nd, 3rd Avenue and Grand Redmond Park. So it's a highly beneficial program. But that is from our housing division. It gets sent up. I missed it in the review that there were window replacement. So the thing that we're going to do to solve that is basically whoever, whether it's Lauren, Jeff, or I, will just call the staff person in housing and just review it. This is my understanding of the improvements to the project, and we'll have that confirmation, and that's how that's going to be solved.
I have a question for there, but I want to go back on the other thing. The other thing that we have to consider, if that house with a slate roof was listed on the National Registry, and that would not be an okay thing with them to do, so we have to be careful about what we put in there is like a
so
like a
chapter 18 specifies if there is an impact to a defining feature, that is not a CNME. That's a COA.
Wasn't that the case with that house with the windows that you just talked about? That was listed in the National Registry.
Yes.
And it got missed.
Right, and as I just said a couple minutes ago, so the solve for that is we're going to have staff review with the person who put together the bid application, the bid packet, to make sure staff is understanding everything that's involved. So in October of last year, we had the same program, had a project that had various improvements. The majority of them were CNMEs. However, there were soffits and fascia that the bid packet said replaced with aluminum. And since that was definitely not a CNME, that was brought to the commission as a COA. So as an example, if a window that was called out in a survey as a defining feature, that automatically is not a CNME, it's a COA, that would have come in front of the commission.
And in this case, it was just, he's human, he missed it. But I'm glad you're doing that, and I'm wondering if we shouldn't even have, I don't know, to Ron's email, we can go right after this. That's going to help, but we need a check and countercheck.
And that's, that city staff will take care of addressing that issue.
Right.
So that's nothing for the commission to, you know, that we're taking care of that. That's a city staff function, is operations.
Since that came through the housing department,
mm-hmm.
and it was HUD federal money,
yes.
was that considered a 106 by the city and SHPL?
So we talked to Paula Moore about our process.
Was it considered 106 is what I asked, because that had federal money involved in it.
Yes, and I'm answering you. So we talked to Paula Moore and Sarah. She's actually a new, she's been with SHPL, but she's actually now kind of doing all Section 106. So we talked to them about our process and if that was sufficient, if that satisfied, you know, Section 106, and they said yes.
Do you not consider us to be a consulting party to the 106s? Because we should be considered a consulting party, on, especially on something like that that was missed. We wouldn't have missed that if it came before us. And I don't know what you, I don't know what you gave SHPL. I would like to see the documentation from HUD and from housing that went through the different steps, including the documentation that went to SHPL,
mm-hmm.
what SHPL replied with the documentation, so that we can review those steps. Just saying SHPL said it was okay, I don't know that you did. They were probably told it was going to be like for like, but did you go back and tell them that they changed the panes in the windows don't match anymore? The defining feature of that house was completely altered. It's no longer a contributing structure to the district.
Correct.
That's unacceptable as far as I'm concerned on this commission. And if we're allowed to comment on 106s from the telecom industry every time they come through, there is no reason why we can't consult on the other 106s from HUD and from FEMA that we've been ignored on. And I'm
so you haven't been ignored on them, but the process that we're using that we verified with SHPL is for the housing division, they put together one of these packets, we review it, we'll confirm with them to make sure we're not missing anything, and then follow Chapter 18 in the design guidelines regarding CNMEs or COAs.
Well, I'd like to review those guidelines. I'd like to review all that stuff, because it was a 106, and I'd like to be a consulting party on future 106s.
Okay, I don't know
like
what more
to...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I would like to make a motion that we notify SHPL that we want to be consulted on all 106s that come from the city, because we are being ignored on them. And the 30th Street Drive house was one of them. Sandy Pumphrey stood right there, sat right there, and said he didn't investigate whether or not there was archaeology involved. He didn't do a background check on who owned the house. This could have been famous people. That was not a complete check of that. And if we had the opportunity to consult on it, we would have checked that stuff out. So somewhere, we have to figure out who's making the decisions that things are not eligible in the city, because obviously there's somebody on city staff that says that's not eligible. That doesn't look like it's architecturally okay. You know, somebody's making those decisions because they're checking those boxes, they're not eligible, and then they tell us, well, I didn't check that stuff. That's not right.
So we're bringing in Paula Moore and this other individual from SHPA who does a Section 106 to the commission to just give a presentation on Section 106 from the state's perspective, what they do, how they do reviews, which I think maybe will help, you know, with some of these questions.
Well, I certainly have a lot of questions, I'm sure. And I hope the other commissioners do as well, because it's not right that we're getting left out of these things when we could have caught those errors.
There's a lot of things, Adams, that we don't, like this is my seventh or eighth year, and there's a lot of things that we don't discuss at this meeting that we used to, that we made motions on, they're being bypassed.
And what are those? Just so we have a better understanding of what those things are. Because then that might be something to address with the design guidelines,
the
that then there's something
of non-material effect. I think we need to review that and go through that, because we have 48 of them. I realize some of them were roofs, most of them were, and I know a lot of them were paint jobs.
And so Chapter 18 spells out that CNMEs are reviewed by staff.
Which is why I'm wondering if we don't need to
change Chapter 18.
To critique Chapter 18.
I'm sure that we as a commission can make somebody can make a motion that we want to set up a committee to review Chapter 18 and make changes to it, and we can present it to staff, and you can present it to Jennifer and the City Council. But I think as a CLG, we have the right to do that. So.
And they created this board to do this type of stuff. I don't want stuff slowly taken away where we don't do anything.
And again, we are following the design guidelines in Chapter 18, because there's statements made, and Section 106, there's statements made that give the impression we're not, and we're following this, which is why
we
thought it would be good to have Paula Moore and the other individual come in just to give information about that.
Which is why when I said earlier in announcements, there's no one left, but that's 3-4 now, but I think we need to review those and possibly make some changes and have City Council. I mean, we wrote Chapter 18. We're the ones that sent it to city staff and to zoning and up the ladder. We wrote it. So we weren't perfect. Maybe there are things we missed. Maybe we need to ask City Council to review it and make the changes that we need to make. Things change. They change the Congress for the Constitution. I mean, that's why I was going to make a suggestion that we look at it, see if, like the roof, we have some good ideas. I think we need to rediscuss this when we have a full house, because there's not enough here now to really make a decision on that. But tweak it as far as like materials that aren't like, but make those things. And if there's things on Chapter 18, to Ron's point, the actual, not the guidelines, but Chapter 18, that need to be critiqued as well, I would recommend as a board that we make a motion to do it and send it on up the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
That's our right. I mean, I don't want to sound like this, but you guys work for us.
Actually, we don't.
Well, you represent
so,
us.
So the board and commission training, make sure commissions know and boards know that city staff do not answer to the boards and commissions. We are here to give you what you need to do your job, which is providing recommendations to City Council. And that's
point.
What we're doing
Ron's.
Our best to do that with things like the design guidelines in Chapter 18. So absolutely, if you have some changes, recommendations, we'll look at those and we'll take those if we feel they're appropriate.
The first thing that I would ask us to look at is anything in Chapter 18 doing with roofs, being that we might have new neighborhoods.
So can I just add, so I'm very familiar with Chapter 18. We read it all the time. It doesn't say anything about roofs. So any details about houses are in the design guidelines. Chapter 18 is much more of an overarching. CNMEs are administrative. COAs go to HPC. It's much more broad. And I also wanted to mention one thing, but you guys were interested in CNMEs. We added item 8 every meeting to present on all the CNMEs that we do. So you guys are aware of everything that we're doing. We haven't had many CNMEs lately.
Well, and those are great, Lauren, except they're already done. So if they weren't done properly, we're screwed. Excuse me, I shouldn't have said screwed, but that's why my point with Adam and Jennifer and about doors, I think what we're doing is great. Pictures and stuff, it's a step in the right direction. But once the architecture is taken off the doors and the door frame is changed, we find out about it later, it's done. We can't go backwards. So I just think we need to, I would recommend, and I'll make it when everyone's here because we're short now, but I think we need to sit down. Everyone needs to review Chapter 18 and see if there's things that we don't think fit. Times change. And we as one of the writers of Chapter 18 of the Updaters, could have screwed up. They're only human.
Yeah, and I would just add, I guess my point was, I would really look more at the design guidelines in Chapter 18, because Chapter 18, it's really, staff is looking at the design guidelines. Does it follow it? Okay, we'll do a CNME. Does it not follow it? Okay, we'll take it to HPC. So you can really affect what we decide administratively or not through the design guidelines.
But you almost have to look, review Chapter 18 to see what the guidelines are reflecting too. Does
well,
that make sense?
It's that simple though. I mean, it is really just, do they follow the design guidelines or do they not? So.
I mean, I would still recommend look at Chapter 18. That's always good. But I think if you really want to impact, like Lauren was saying, things like this, that's the design guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Because in since we're the two longest here and watched a lot of this, stuff is starting to slip through that I can safely say the only thing that used to slip through, and we were doing really well on it, and I think we still are, is, and Cindy made the point tonight of being advised, we didn't have anything come before us, especially city-owned, until it was a demolition permit. And we worked really, really hard before you guys got here to have city or even private entities come before us and say, can you help me out with one that maybe came before us that said, this is what we're going to want to do.
Loftus Lumber Site.
They come ahead of us, months ahead of time, and say, this is what we're thinking of doing. We wanted to run a patent. Well, I think even the theater was one of them.
Yep.
We never got any of that prior to 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And it was frustrating. I think somebody can contest that because we're sitting here and then it's dumped on us and there's no time to do anything. So we asked that we be included way ahead. We are coming at the demolition, which is the last thing. We have 60 days. We wanted to be put up at the front. And for the most part, I think we were. I don't think we're getting as many, but that could be because there's not as many.
Right. And you have to keep in mind, too, that the way development works is usually a developer comes to the city with like I'll just throw out a number, 95% done. They've done their financing, they've done all those things. So when we find out about things, a lot of it's to the end. But we can still, like with Loftus Lumber, that one happened to be a little different. We knew a little bit more ahead of time. But when something is available to the public and we know about it, we'll share it when it's private. When it's city owned, yeah, as soon as we find out about it.
Around 2016, the commission and Mark Stoker, Amanda, Bob, I can't remember, Ron, myself, there was 12 of us at that time instead of 9. We worked really hard and went before city council to say, can we please be advised on this prior? And that helped us. Because to Cindy's point, if it gets put on today's agenda, you can't move a house in 60 days. So I would recommend, I'd also recommend, and this is going to sound really horrible, but unless it's really a family emergency, I would really love everyone to try to make every meeting, because it's so hard when people aren't here and you're trying to fill them in. I realize y'all have families, Ron and I don't, not direct families, but I don't miss a meeting, and if I have to miss it, I call in just so I can at least give my say-so. So if you can absolutely make meetings, it's really crucial so we don't have to rediscuss all this stuff all the time, because it's harder. Because we only have 4 people here now, out of 9 members.
Mm-hmm.
Life happens, I understand. I'm not saying that you have a new kid. I mean, I'm not, you've got to put your life before this, but it just would make it easier if we had a full attendance at meetings, so when we discussed things, it was in everyone's mind. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So do we want to bring up this discussion at our February 27th meeting?
Which is to my point, we're going to have to rediscuss everything all over again.
I think we should,
unless you can get
I think it should be an agenda item with action on. We maybe form a committee, subcommittee, whatever.
That's what I would say.
To review it, make changes.
So could we even throw out an email now asking people to start reviewing Chapter 18 and the guidelines, and if you are interested in doing being a member of the subcommittee, be ready to volunteer next meeting.
I think that would be a good way to approach it.
Get the ball moving.
But if we do a subcommittee, I don't want it to be a 2-year event. I want to get it studied, discussed, make our changes, and if we decide we want to make changes that need city council, maybe just need to push it forward, that we do it within a 6-month period.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the other problem we had when I first got on the board 7 years ago. It took 3 to 4 years to get in. It took us 3 years to get a change from a 15-day permit to, what was it before, around, I don't know, 10. So where we had to have special meetings, otherwise, because the date that they didn't line up right, so they would slide through because it landed between our meetings.
Mm-hmm.
It took us 3 years to get those. It takes a long time to get stuff done. So I'm not opposed to. I would almost just assume discuss it in a meeting, make an opinion. Give people, maybe like we're doing with our local landmarking, do a homework assignment to review it. If you have questions, bring it to the next meeting, discuss it. But if you guys want to do a subcommittee, most subcommittees are five.
It has to be less than four.
Okay, yeah. It used to be five because we had 12 people. Because I just feel we need the review, and if you guys want to stick with the Chapter 18, fine, if I understand what you're saying, but it's our right to make these changes and push them up the ladder if we feel our hands are being tied. And I don't mean by you, just by happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think as a newer member from coming out in June or July of 19, some of this stuff needs to be discussed, I think, more frequently. And updates probably need to be revamped throughout.
And that's why I try really hard.
Commission member changes. I mean, I'm in the corporate world. I'm constantly changing process and development procedure, right? But with one single focus that I'm looking forward to. You know, it's not. We know what the goal is. We know what the end game has to be. That never changes. But how we get there might have to change a little. And that's
why I try really hard, Ryan, when we're doing things, I try to backdate you guys
on what we've done
just because you weren't here.
Yep.
And it's too much.
I'm totally in favor of looking at 18 and then also looking at the design guidelines to see if we need to make more accommodations or more changes in order for us to have more of an insight or more of a say on how that's going to be processed and done.
So where do we go from here? Do we make that an agenda item?
So I can put on the next agenda. And maybe it's just the discussing of how the commission wants to approach review of it.
And to maybe discuss the guidelines.
Mm-hmm. I'm good with that. We don't have enough to...
Yeah.
Can we set that on the agenda, though?
If we have to throw away most of the things out of a design guideline to get to the point that this is the only thing that we want, then that's what we should do.
Well, when we wrote those around, we...
I mean, if you give him too much leeway, he's going to make a mistake. If you narrow it down,
doesn't mean
he's
that against you personally.
This. Yeah.
Oh, he just did.
Well, I didn't.
So again, you know, city staff is working the best we can to eliminate errors, and city staff handles operations. So.
Which is what he meant.
Which is what we're doing, and so it's great when someone brings up something that we can say, "Yep, what can we do to fix it?" And so whether it's been doors. Whether it's now recently with the comprehensive rehab program, you know, that we're working to put things in place to address those issues.
So we'll do that then, an agenda item two.
Mm-hmm.
Can we make that for a meeting that we're not, is that our next meeting that 106 is?
No, that's going to be.
I would like to
April.
Have ample time to discuss this.
Beaver, they're doing the presentation.
So the strand will be on the next.
Oh, strand.
Yep.
I want to be able to give us enough time to truly talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
So Tim, what I would recommend, I can just say it's going to be on the next agenda, and if as time goes on, and if we have COAs, demos, whatever it may be, then maybe it has to shift. But we'll talk about that every other Wednesday, and that way we'll just assume it's going to be there, and you know.
And I guess that's why I did suggest the subcommittee is this is a very lengthy process.
Doesn't have to be.
But it will.
I mean, most stuff in Chapter 18.
Design guidelines will be lengthy.
I mean, the design guidelines. It was really lengthy putting it together, and we really did take out and try to make it word specific. That's why we did the check marks and the X's. But there's just things in there. The wording could be slightly off. like I said, we took three different cities plus our own guidelines, and you didn't want guidelines this thick because no one's going to read them.
Yep.
And I think the guidelines before the guidelines we wrote never had a contents or a how to use it, which we, I believe we added that to ours, did we not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, I've heard people outside of the historic preservation kind of area talk about this, how helpful this is. And we tell people, even if you're not in a historic district, this is good document, good resource if you have a historic home.
Do you know who Amanda is?
Mm-hmm.
She came and gave it, I got to give her kudos because she did 75% of the labor intensive work, typing it, putting it together, bringing it before us. We added, we subtracted. She worked her bones off on this.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, there's maybe some things we need to fine tune. Might be just one section of one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Might be one word, you know.
Okay, so we're going to add that to the agenda. If for some reason it does get moved down, let's not keep moving it. If we can avoid it to where we all forget about it, because before you guys came, that's what happened. It was supposed to be on that, and it never ever. You guys have been better as far as getting most stuff up to us, I think. And I just want to say, between everyone here, I know there's some rivalry sometimes. I think it's because we're all passionate. Okay, you guys are passionate about what you do, and we're passionate about what we do, or try to do. So if things get conflicted, I would take it as a grain of salt and not harbor. Does that make sense? Because I appreciate what you guys do. I tell you, and I told Sylvia that all the time. I used to. I haven't lately. We appreciate what you do, but we have to be able to have discussions without getting all as well. So, is there anything else we need to do? Announcements? So you're going to put that on the agenda, at least
yes.
As a discussion item to what we need to do to go forward to changing the changes we want to make changes on. If that's a subcommittee, fine. If it's just doing a homework before you come to the meeting, make notes so you can say page 29, da 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 da. I think this should be changed. We can discuss it, make a motion on it right there. You guys can take notes, send it on up the ladder, and see if we can get it changed. There's no guarantee that they're going to change it, but usually they do because that's why they hired us. Well, I guess we're not hired, we're doing it for free. But all right, future agenda items, we kind of talked about that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone else have any other items? Since we're really short on staff or commission members tonight, we might want to put a little refresher. I think maybe we already said a little refresher on Beaver Woods as far as some of the questions that you and Arthur asked that they can be part of. Who wasn't here? Jennifer and...
Oh.
Because a lot of people weren't here for the... Which is why I made my point earlier. If we can make these meetings, it just makes everything go smoother.
We'll just keep you guys updated throughout. Like, we'll let you know when the neighborhood meeting.
Okay, are there any announcements?
Available.
Huh? Any certificates? There are no certificates. Are
no.
There? And I know I've been kind of a bugger on that. I realize most of those CNMEs are paint and stuff like that, which we don't. Is it a paint usually that you...
Yeah, it's usually roofs.
Can be windows. Doors.
I guess the one thing that I would say, Adam, and I think you've maybe got it covered, is in that mix-up of the windows, make sure when they say like for like that it's really like for like, not just wood for wood. Make sure that they have the right skylights or the right number of panes, and if they can't make them anymore, see what we can do as far as, because we've done that before, and we used to, as a commission, point a liaison among us to help. I know Bob Grafton used to do a lot. He would go with them to Pella Window. And because most people at a Menards or a Lowe's, oh no, they don't make those.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. If you go in there and say, this is what we're looking for, I'm with the historical board, oh yeah, we can custom design. So.
And I would just say with HUD projects, they will not fund custom products. So, or I shouldn't say products, because doors they probably would, because you don't have a choice with the door size, but windows, those are not, that is not something that federal program will fund.
But we've also in the past, before any of you guys were here, taught how to redo the window. You know, the Commonwealth Building, they didn't buy all new windows. They took every one of those windows out and sent them away and had them redone. And usually it's cheaper than buying a brand new window.
Mm-hmm.
Can be. Mm-hmm. Same with doors. We've saved a lot of original doors in these historical districts. We haven't lately, but in the past, I think we had one just before, maybe you guys were here, where we suggested it be looked into to having it rebuilt, refinished. And the guy said no, and it turned out to be cheaper, and he kept the same door. So.
And also, just to reiterate what was in my email, the comprehensive rehab program prioritizes repair over replacement. Because of that, it's cheaper.
But we're living in a throwaway world. People don't think about repairing. I'll just go buy a new one. I'm not going to fix the car. I'll just buy a new one.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we're done. Someone want to join us? Well, actually, we don't need to make the motion. There's not enough of us here to do it.
No, there's that.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy.
Okay, I got to ask, how old is this?
Stable.
That.
I don't know.
Because I love that you have a calculator in it.
This was a huge privilege.